you missed it live, catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.
The economics of the day, we certainly know that business typically participates in three themes. Not only developing businesses and new industries, scaling those opportunities, but also where the environment permits, mergers and acquisitions. And this is essentially where businesses either look to align and partner or take over other partners in order to capitalize on the growth that might be present in their local market. So today we're going to take a look at the landscape when it comes for mergers and acquisitions in the South African environment and right across the African continent. And this one really was close to home. Do you remember MultiChoice last year? Still in talks with Canal Plus, the French broadcasting network? That deal, as we know, we have yet to hear the conclusion of it. Outside of that, Barlow World is potentially facing a delisting given a consortium buyout, which is led by the CEO, who is a part of the local consortium that aims to buy it out together with partners in Saudi Arabia. So that clearly tells us that big business is making moves. What does this mean? What does it look like? And what key themes and content do we need to be mindful of? Andrew Bauman, CEO for Corporate and Advisory at Deal Leaders International, joins us now to tell us more. Andrew, a warm welcome to the show. Happy 2025.
Thank you. Good to you as well. Thank you very much. All the very best.
Thank you so much and all the best to you. I have a funny feeling that you and your team are going to be incredibly busy during the year 2025, right, Andrew?
We already are.
Spill the beans. I'm teasing. I'm aware that you can't tell us too much, but maybe let's just contextualize the entry into 2025 from an M&A point of view by reflecting on 2024. Cool. I think of even the asset management space, the banking environment locally. There's been a significant number of deals that have been concluded last year.
I think 2024 is a very interesting year. I think you almost need to divide it up between the listed space and the privately owned business space. But, you know, 2024 is almost an outlier because there were a lot of mega deals in the mix in multiple industries. And obviously, you raised a couple of them in the introduction. And it's going to be interesting to see if and how that theme continues. You know, I think what the big question mark is from a regulatory perspective, and a Competition Commission perspective, how much of an enabler.
Ooh, looks like we've lost.
Deals are approved or not.
Sure, go ahead. Andrew, we lost you just after the theme and the comment around the Competition Commission. The line was
apologies.
There. Perhaps if you could rephrase that statement, please.
Yeah, sure, no problem. So what I was saying is I think there's obviously a lot of mega deals, and I think the regulatory environment and Competition Commission is definitely, you know, something that's going to be front and center to see how and if many more of these mega deals are actually going to get across the line, because they need to get across the line. And I think, you know, more and more there's been a building frustration around what part is government and DTI and the likes playing in enabling these types of transactions. So, but I'm bullish. I think, you know, I think the first quarter is going to be relatively slow. There is some carryover from last year, but the outlook's very, very positive. And I think, you know, it's always a good barometer. You know, I heard what Ndumiso was saying, and I'm always glass half full. Mm-hmm. And I do believe that, you know, we are seeing an uptick.
Got you. I'm encouraged by this uptick. And typically when we see mergers and acquisitions, it's quite telling about opportunities, growth and scale that is available within a local market. And I'm keen just for us to also position 2025, 5 years post the pandemic, where things looked like they were falling apart just over, 4.5 years ago. When you look at the trends in the cycle, are there particular sectors where we've been seeing heightened M&A activity? Is this just part of the cycle where those who didn't really survive COVID really well, the legacy of those businesses has been to, you know, be acquired by others? Are there themes that do align here?
I think there are, and it has been an interesting couple of years. I think what you know, there's multiple industries. You know, I get asked regularly what are those outlier or outstanding industries. But I think what we saw coming out of COVID was obviously there was a lot of blood in the water, and there was a lot of pressure on smaller businesses. So they would either fold or they would be bought up, enabling almost stronger versions of those businesses, be it on their own or consolidation or an acquisition or merger, coming out the other side, you know. So I think that definitely was that blowout risk test, if you like, around the robustness of the models and those business models. And then, yeah, it's, since then, it's also been a lot of ups and downs and lots of question marks and clearly the Eskom issues and all of that. So there's never, there hasn't been a period for a number of years where, you know, it almost, you know, we're almost too scared to say, hopefully we've bottomed out and there's definitely some upside. But yeah, it's quite interesting. We, you know, our rule of thumb is good businesses sell irrespective of the industry. You got to just find the right buyers. But I think, you know, a big shift for me is, I think the risk profile of the rest of the world has changed considerably, and the gap between that risk profile and South Africa's risk profile has closed. So, you know, we deal with a lot of international buyers who and, you know, as you mentioned, the likes of Barloworld and those types of elements. You know, there's a growing interest in, again, in this part of the world. And for me, that's very reassuring because, you know, there's South Sub-Saharan and Africa as a whole still is the uncharted market, you know, with a growing middle class, increased spend. And so, yeah, there's lots of interesting trends that are hopefully coming to roost probably as a start in 2025. I'm hoping as a foundational year, and it'll grow from there.
I've got you. Almost sounds like we're sitting on fertile soil then, on fertile ground for a lot of activity that's going to take place.
I've got to believe that, Google. I've got to believe that.
No, you certainly do. It keeps the both of us in business, but also creates opportunities for local economies. But there's a key theme that you've mentioned as well, not only South Africa and the continent seemingly being fertile ground for a lot of M&A activity, but I understand that from a policy point of view, the Africa Continental Free Trade Area Act also might be propelling much of this activity. Help us contextualize this, given the six themes that you've shared with us that really might heighten the M&A activity for this year.
Yeah, look, I think that is a big one. And I think that, you know, if we look at Africa as a whole, we haven't been very successful to leverage that free trade agreement, you know. And I think for me, you know, more and more, I'm always blown away by the scale and size of many African businesses and the pedigree of those businesses. And I think as, you know, as we see different pressures from different parts of the world, I do believe that, you know, that is one area that all of us have to start looking at very, very differently. And again, it's underpinned a lot of it by natural resource, low overhead structures, you know, and the likes. I think that's definitely a big one, you know, and often what underpins that is African-focused private equity groups and you know, the consolidations and a lot of dry powder in those places. So, you know, those two almost start dovetailing off each other, because we automatically think export means go to Europe and the US, you know, and I think that more and more we've got to almost change our filter a little bit, because there's other really, really attractive markets out there. And, you know, every percentage point on your margin counts, and, you know, particularly around business valuations. So yeah, any benefit through those, you know, that type of free trade agreement will be huge for businesses as a whole.
Got you. Another thing when it comes to business on the continent, Andrew, we still typically think of the African continent and business opportunities here to be within extractive industries. But there's been a new innovative stance where AI and technology, I understand, is also driving a lot of activity. And that's also been evidenced in just acquisition activity that took place between the likes of Naspers and Scalot, and even what we see with other technology companies and even broadcasting firms looking to tap into opportunities here. Is this a rising theme?
It definitely is. And look, it's been on the radar for a long, long time, and it seems to go through periods. But, you know, be it South Africa or Africa as a whole, has always been very innovative and great skills at non-US dollar or euro prices. But I think also what makes it so attractive is, one, the only way you can access these fragmented markets, so this huge growing middle class and the likes that don't have legacy infrastructures, through technology. So you know, if you look at all of the leapfrogging that is taking place in, you know, in fintech, in AI, in whatever software as a service solutions are out there, it's almost skipping, you know, generation 1, 2, and 3 and going straight to that. Whereas if you look at, you know, the first world, there's a lot of unlearning that needs to take place outside of, you know, what that, you know, these technologies and adoption rates need to look like. So, yeah, there's a huge theme. There's a huge theme, and it's growing on and on. I mean, we get contacted regularly by international software investors looking for opportunities. And so if I have a solution and it's based in Kenya and I've got an operating cost structure in Kenya, but I can export it to the whole world and generate dollars or euros, my margin is incredible, you know, and I think that's also a huge, you know, attractiveness to some of these investment opportunities.
Got you. And I think this is so refreshing for us as well as South Africans, because we typically think like we're not innovating, we're not thriving when it comes to technology. Mm. But the truth is these sectors also expose the innovative success and business prowess that we actually have on the continent
Absolutely, but it's also broader, you know, it's outside of, I mean, obviously technologies, you know, is the one, but even if I look at some of the, you know, clients we're working with in the, I suppose, more the industrial and manufacturing sectors, I mean, these are globally competitive businesses that, you know, in many cases can actually start competing with China, you know, it's hugely impressive. And you wouldn't think that in the manufacturing sector that's been under significant pressure over the last few years. So, yeah, we can do it, you know, and I think it's just going to take a bit more elbow grease and, you know, hopefully a bit of monetary policy and economic runway for, you know, for the environment to come a little bit easier to trade in. And hopefully the regulatory frameworks, you know, playing their role as well and helping us to do business a little bit more seamlessly than we've seen over the last couple of years.
Exactly. Really exciting times, Andrew. And we love to hear stories about M&A activity, but there's a famous Tom Cruise line, if I'm not mistaken. Show me the money.
Exactly. You're supposed to scream at it. Absolutely right. Look, it comes down to that. But again, I think there's a foundation and there's momentum, which, you know, it starts with that. And yeah, now it's got to converge.
Exactly. And maybe let's explore that. You know, are we seeing more activity, you know, in the private equity space? Is more money coming from private investors internationally? Or are we seeing that finance institutions or other financial services houses are actually coming to the fore to help support and facilitate much of this activity?
Yeah, look, I think it's a combination of both. Equity has always been very active in our markets, be it South African private equity or international Africa focused funds. So yeah, the funding landscape has become more competitive because there are other, you know, direct investments coming through, you know, be it government institutions, you know, international funds, whatever that may be, as well as trade players. So yeah, I think the key thing with any deal is the funding partner, if you like, has to align to what the business requires. So in your more privately owned space, your developmental finance and the likes is not necessarily the right starting point, you know, from a funding perspective. It could be an and. Mm-hmm. But private equity, I think, is always going to be dominant in the South African marketplace. And I think the reason I say that is they've evolved from a pricing and valuation perspective. A lot of them have become almost hybrid in that it's more almost investment holding structures. In other words, they hold on to assets a little bit longer if they can. But also they don't mess with the business. And I think the one thing we often don't realize is the complexity post-transaction. So that post-merger integration, the impact of culture and the like. So yeah, there's still a lot of activity. And any business owner out there, you know, it's always important to understand that at least when you're speaking to private equity, they've generally got pedigree. They've got a checkbook and they know how to do it. So I think they're going to continue to play a critical role in, you know, in the M&A landscape.
Got you. Andrew, I am so intrigued because you touched on an aspect that we typically take for granted. We focus on the big deal, but then we forget the people who are left in those organizations that they need to assimilate. And I think of Walmart when they came into the market and then eventually fully bought out Massmart. And when I was in the U.S. recently, walking into a Walmart felt like walking into a Macro. And there's so many dynamics that we can definitely unpack in our follow-up conversations. But have a very busy 2025. We look forward to touching base with you when these deals are announced, but happy for you to come back and break the news here first, right?
Oh, no, I appreciate that. Thank you so much, and all the very best to you and your listeners, and thanks again for a great show.
Thank you so much, Andrew. I appreciate your time. That's Andrew Bowman, who is the CEO for Corporate and Advisory at Deal Leaders International. So next time you hear and you see these stories that we've been talking about, whether it's MultiChoice and Canal Plus, the conversation is still taking place. Even the recent deal that we are now also seeing with Barloworld being potentially bought out by an investor in Saudi Arabia. There's many themes. All of them speak to mergers and acquisitions. And one thing Andrew has told us is that the African continent, and South Africa in particular, remains fertile soil for a lot more M&A activity. So if there's anything to be seen this year, I guess there are a few big deals that are definitely coming through.
If you missed it live, catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.